Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And thank you, Jesus. It's around that time right here on KAZ Radio. We have one of my most favorite shows, Reviving Your Hope with Dr. Janice Walker. Take it away, Dr. Janice.
Well, welcome to another broadcast of Reviving Your Hope, brought to you by Reviving Hope Ministries. I'm Dr. Janice Walker, and my mission today is to help revive hope in God's people. I believe God got some nuggets for you today that's going to help you as you're walking this Christian walk. He's going to answer some questions for you. But before we get into it, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before the throne of grace, thanking you once again for this day, for this is the day that you have made, and we will surely rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we just thank you for being such an awesome God, an awesome Father, a wonderful, long-suffering Father. You are almighty and glorious and holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Father, we pray that you just breathe on this broadcast right now. Touch every heart, every ear, every listener. Let them be receptive to the word of the Holy Spirit. Use me as your mouthpiece right now and save souls, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome to another broadcast. I pray blessings upon you and your whole family, everyone who watches this broadcast. Today, our topic is, are we in end times? Are we in end times? And as we approach this, we're going to be, you know, letting you know exactly what the end times are. Later on, we're going to be discussing what happens when it comes. We're going to talk about the mark of the beast. I hear a lot of talk going around about people thinking the vaccinations or, you know, had secretly marks of the beast in it. So hopefully God will teach you some things as we go through this broadcast. We're going to probably cover it in three or four broadcasts. Today, we're going to just answer the question about being in end times. And the main book that we're going to be coming out is the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter. I hope you got your pen and paper with you to mark down these scriptures. We're going to be talking about some of the things that Jesus told us to look for. Matthew 24:3, the disciples asked them, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" That was the question that the disciples asked Jesus. So we're going to talk about what makes what people mean when they talk about the end of the world. Let me just say up front that there are three Greek terms for the term world. The first one deals with the planet Earth in general, The second one deals with the population that is living on the planet, the actual people that is living on the planet, as in God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He's not talking about the land, the oceans and the sea and the rocks and the mountains. He's talking about the people itself. And the third Greek term for the word world is the end of the age, that the time frame exists when men is governing it. And that's kind of like what we're talking about, men's governance of the world, because we're going to learn that the world doesn't come to an end when certain events happen. So we're going to talk about Jesus' second coming later on in another broadcast. But people are, you hear a lot of people saying that, you know, it's getting so evil out here. People are just so immoral. People don't love God. And so much is going on that we're in end times. So today, when people say end times, the world is coming to an end, they should mean it as the end of this world as we know it, the end of this world as we know it, because the world itself does not actually end until the 1,000-year reign after the tribulation and before the great white throne judgment, when there will be a new heaven and a new earth that will be created by the Lord. Now, some of you may not understand all of that, what I just said, but as I get into other broadcasts, I will make all of that very, very clear. Today, I want to concentrate on end time events and things like that. But the world as we know it will come to an end, amen, starting with the rapture. Some say we are in end times because with so much going on today with the destruction, there's so much destruction. There's so much hatred. There's so much desolation. You know, we have pandemics. We have one virus and disease after another. We have economic uncertainty throughout the land. we have famines, we have wars, we have killings and mayhem and ethnic hatred and immorality is just, you know, just off the chain. It's, you know, you even though there's nothing new under the sun, it seems like Sodom and Gomorrah was probably mild compared to the new heights of evilness that man has been able to imagine and do today. So with all of that going on and the like, all those things are going on globally. It's not just going over and going on over here or over there. These things are going on globally. So many people are saying that we're living in end times or the end of the world. Most people say this because they really don't have any understanding or a little bit understanding of what exactly the end times entail. So the next occurrence between God and man, the next disposition, we're in the disposition of grace right now. But the next occurrence between God and man, grace in the church age, you know, same thing. But the next one will be the rapture. The rapture is not the second coming of Christ. The rapture is not the second coming of Christ, but the rapture does trigger the tribulation. And the end of tribulation period brings about the second coming of Christ. Amen. Because when we get into the rapture, Jesus is not going to actually come back down to the earth. We'll talk about that probably next broadcast. So the question you're really asking, many people are really asking, not so much is this the end of the world, because we're talking about, again, the end of the world as we know it. But we're really saying, are we getting ready to be raptured? Because we are at the end of end times. So again, the disciples asked Jesus at 24:3, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Notice that the disciples said, and I've read several translations of this scripture, and everyone says sign, not signs. There's only one sign that really triggers, let us know that it is the end of the world. I will get in more depth with that when I actually get into the rapture. But today I'll just, you know, I'm going to let you know the occurrences. Jesus told us there's certain events that we have to look for. There are certain events that we have to look for. And when these events take place, then you should know that the end of the time is near. But he also gives us one sign. He also gives us one particular thing and said, when this happens, then the end will be here. So he said, and when we think about that, I want you to remember what Jesus cautioned us in Matthew 24, verse 36. He said, however, that day and hour, no one knows. Concerning that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. So when Jesus was walking this earth as the Son of Man, he didn't know. He said, no one knows. So there have been times over the years, over the decades, where people have got a following, a cult, if you will, and made all these predictions on a certain day that the world's going to come to an end. And they have followers that followed them, gave up things and lived in a commune or just really believed them, try to make preparations with digging shelters, with food stashed in it, and all this other kind of stuff. Trying to get ready for the end of the world because these people were predicting the exact date. So I just want to let you know, Jesus said, no one knows the exact day and time. So if anyone tries to come to you with that prediction, don't listen. So let's get into the events that Jesus said are signs. What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? I'm going to start with what Jesus told the disciples in verse 24. And I'm going to double back to 2nd and 1st Timothy because there are more events there. But let's go to Matthew's 24th chapter, verses 4 through 14. And Jesus answered them and said, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. That has already been happening. Even in Jesus' time, there were people coming saying that they were the Messiah, trying to fool people. To this day, there are still people saying that they're the Messiah, they're Jesus. So Jesus said, take heed that no one deceives you, because later on, you're going to learn that when Jesus comes, he tells us how he's going to come back. And if you don't basically come in from the sky and you don't see that, if you just see, oh, he's over there, then you know that's not him. He also says, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So we're looking at everything going on, and the latest thing, what's going on in Russia. We just got out of Afghanistan after being over there for so many years. You know, we've had so many wars. There's threatening wars. There's threatening nuclear wars. And there's wars and rumors of wars. And there's going to be more. So a lot of these things are happening, already happened, are still happening. Jesus said, don't be troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And then he says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Now, that word nation here is a tribe, a people, a group. It doesn't have to be an ethnic group, but it can be. It can just be a multitude of men or beasts, the Bible says, when you look up that term in Greek. So you got all of these hate groups. You got all of these different anti-Semitic groups. You got these groups that hate certain anything brown, so that can be a nation. It can be a group of people as well as a race of people. And you know, we have a lot of hatred like that going on now. Amen. For nation will rise against nation. You know, you have a lot of killings of Black people being stopped, being profiled just because they're Black, because of the hatred that's in the world, where they're rising up. Amen. Kingdom against kingdom. That can be tied in with the wars. And it says, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Now, that's the part that everyone is really looking at, because we have famines. We have different parts of the world where people don't have food. There's droughts where crops can't be grown. You have a shortage of food, or not a shortage of food. We really don't have a shortage of food. It's really just a glitch in getting the food to the people, and prices are high. And a lot of people are saying, because the prices are high, we're going to be in a famine pretty soon. So there's a lot of rumors going around. There's a lot of things going around, but the pestilences, we've had things like the bird flu and polio and measles and chickenpox, all these things in the past. But this says in various places, this is the first time, I believe, where we had it globally. Coronavirus hit the world. It hit the world at the same time. Well, it started over here. Then, you know, it didn't take long to spread. That's why I said at the same time. And it was so bad in 2020, where countries were closing down. You know, you could go out for doctor's appointments, and you can go out for food. And when you go out, you probably didn't see any other cars besides yourself when they first shut it down. So it's because of that a lot of people really think, you know, we're in times, because the coronavirus is still here, even though it's eased up a lot. It's mutating every time, you know, they come up with a vaccine or something they think is going to get rid of it. It mutates into something else. And it's global. And we got earthquakes everywhere. We got tsunamis, underground earthquakes that causes tsunamis, not underground, but underwater earthquakes that causes tsunamis, and water, you know, just coming up on the land and flooding and killing thousands of people. We have earthquakes everywhere where thousands of people are getting killed. But look at what Jesus said in verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So right there, that's telling us that it's going to get worse. It may seem like it's bad now, but Jesus said all these things going on are the beginning of sorrows. Verse 9 says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now, let me just say this. Other than the apostle John, all the apostles were martyred, killed because of Jesus, for his name's sake. So that took place already, and it's also still taking place with people in different countries being killed just because they're Christians. They're being given the chance to renounce Christ, or we're going to cut your head off, or we're going to shoot you by firing squad. So all of this is taking place. And then verse 10 says, and then many will be offended. Amen. It said, any will be offended. And that means eagerly, quick to be led astray, quick to be led to sin. And will betray one another and will hate one another. Isn't that going on now? Hasn't that always gone on? Look at how the Jews were killed by the Nazis in the gas chambers. Millions, I believe, of them. The many, It says, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. I don't even have to elaborate on that. We see that going on today. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Lawlessness, we're talking about iniquity, the contempt and violation of the law. And because there's so much going on in the world, people are like, God, why are you letting this happen? Why are you, you know, why, you know, there's just so much evil in the world. Something needs to be done. Many will, the love of many will go cold. The love of many will grow cold for Christ, for Jesus, for the gospel, for God. Amen. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. He who endures till the end shall be saved. And look at verse 14. This is the key. And it says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Gospel of the kingdom, gospel of Jesus being the Messiah, the gospel of the good news, the gospel of the reconciliation of man with God is going to be preached in all the world. Now, a lot of people say this has already happened. I'm not going to jump on that bad wagon because I don't know where all the world is, and I can't say if we have made it to all the world and they all got preached to. So I'm not even going to even try to say that that's already happened. But I know that Jesus said that when that happens, then the end will come. Then the end will come. Amen. So the end of the world as we know it, or, you know, because let me just say that during the rapture, even though some are going to be left behind, there's going to be millions still here on this earth. There are going to be people who are going to come to know Christ during that time. We're going to talk about that later. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to still be here because there's questions that people have about that. There's been statements made about that that I hope that God will help me to allow me to clarify for you. Now let's read 2 Timothy 3rd chapter verses 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Perilous means it's going to be hard to live, and it's going to be so troublesome. It's going to be so much trouble, so much bad things happening, so hard, anything you could imagine. You know, all the things that Jesus talked about, the famines and the pestilences, everything that he talked about in Matthew 24. It says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of themselves mean that they're going to be too intent on their own interests. Everyone's going to be like a narcissist, only caring about themselves, not caring about their fellow men, having no compassion, no sympathy, no empathy for anyone, just lovers of themselves and what they got to do to survive, what they got to do for themselves and their family, if they even care about their family. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, just doing whatever they want to do, not even trying to rein in the flesh and not do certain things. Everyone is just going to do what's right in their own eyes, like they did before the flood. Amen. Without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than the lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. God said, don't even hang around with them. And it's going to be so many of them, you know, but God said, don't have anything to do with them. Now, let me read 1 Timothy 4th chapter, verses 1 through 3. And this is talking about the great apostasy. And the apostasy is the abandonment or renunciation of the gospel. And we're not talking about some people when they hear about this, they say, well, they weren't really saved anyway. They didn't really give their heart to Christ and for Jesus to be their Lord. That's contrary to what the scripture, what God says. If you're going to give into the spirit of apostasy, that means that you did believe, but you turned away. That's the very definition of it. So it says in verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times again, so again, this is not end times, but these are things leading up to it. In latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. There are so many people now giving heed to witchcraft and worshiping the devil and burning sage and thinking there's nothing wrong with it. There's witchcraft in the church. There's witches going to church, you know, people don't believe, they're getting seduced into thinking it's okay to do this because this isn't really evil. This isn't really witchcraft. This is just trying to get spirits out of my house. But, you know, nobody, what about the Holy Spirit? Since when the Holy Spirit needs work, needs help doing what he's supposed to do if you're walking in him and praying and using the power that he gives you? So don't be deceived. It says that many are giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, going to tea readers and reading horoscopes and saying, I'm a Cancer, I'm a Gemini. No, you're a child of God. All you're doing is open up portals for the enemy to come in and bring havoc in your life through a lot of evil spirits and demons. So you got to be careful. And if you've given in to any of that, you need to repent of it specifically, ask God to forgive you, give you discernment so you can know when those deceiving spirits are trying to deceive you. Because out of that, God doesn't like it. There are specific scriptures saying, don't go to tea readers. Don't go to, you know, only God knows the future. Yeah, the devil can use his little demons to try to predict some future. The devil, don't forget, we're dealing with spirits and powers in high places. The devil got some powers. So just because he can tell you that your Uncle John died wearing a black suit or a green suit, that doesn't mean that, you know, that you should be indulging in it. Amen. Hallelujah. It says speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. And this is the end of it. People are going to just stop getting married. Let's live together. Let's just have sex. Let's just do whatever. And commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Everything God made, the fourth verse goes on to say, every creature he made is good. And nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. Verse 5, for it is sanctioned by the word of God and prayer. This is where you get the fact that you're supposed to pray. You're supposed to pray over your food. Amen. You're supposed to pray over your food. Amen. So now there's other signs that we can look at too, possible sign, possible events. And one would be the rebuilding of the temple. Another would be increased hostility towards Israel, and that's happening. Amen. Another would be advances toward a one world government. We've heard of that. And we're already trying to move into the digital currency and get rid of the money and things like that. And amen. The most prominent sign of the end times, however, is the nation of Israel. Now, don't forget, in 1948, Israel was recognized as a sovereign state, essentially for the first time since 70 AD. For the first time since 70 AD, Israel was recognized as a sovereign state. They start coming home to Israel. That is so important to end time prophecy because God promised Abraham that his posterity would have Canaan as an everlasting possession. That's in Genesis 17, chapter 8, verse. Ezekiel also prophesied in 37, a physical and spiritual resuscitation of Israel. Amen. So all of this is going on also. Amen. So having Israel as its own, you know, nation in its own land is important in light of end time prophecies because of Israel's prominence in all the prophecies concerning end times. Amen. So with these signs in mind, we can be wise and discerning in regard to the expectation of the end times. We should not, however, interpret any of these singular events as the clear indication of the soon arrival of the end times. Amen. God has given us enough information that we should be prepared. And that is what we are called to be, prepared. We are called to be prepared. And when we say prepared, we're not talking about being prepared by, you know, digging shelters up under the ground and, you know, like some of those shelters they had for hurricanes where you go up under and you got food stored there. You got kerosene lighters and all that stuff stored. Now, if you want to store some of that stuff in case of different events like hurricanes and outages and shortages, that's okay. But you can't prepare like that for end times because that's not the preparedness God's talking about. Because no one knows when Jesus is coming back for his church. So when God talks about being prepared, he's talking about us being prepared as far as being able to having Jesus Lord and Savior. We accepted Jesus Lord and Savior. Amen. And we're living for Christ. We're doing God's will on this earth. We have a relationship with God. We're walking with God. We're not walking in the flesh, but we're walking in the spirit. You get prepared by getting your relationship right with God and being obedient to the things he's telling you to do while you're on this earth. Amen. That's how you get prepared. So I don't know if you all can see me because it looks like my computer has frozen up, but it looks like the sound is still working. So since the sound is still working and I don't know what to do about my frozen screen, I'm going to keep it moving right now. Amen. 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 So let me just go here for real quick because it looks like everything's kind of been out of whack here. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to wrap it up because one thing that I want you to do is to be prepared. Are you prepared? God has given us enough information for us to start being prepared for his call. Are you prepared to die or to be raptured? Or will you be left behind? I know we all seen those movies where some of us, you know, when the rapture come and a trumpet sound, some people just disappear and some people are left behind looking for them, wondering what's, it's really going to be like that. And are you prepared to be raptured up with God? Are you prepared to meet him in the sky? And are you prepared to be reunited with your loved ones that have gone on before you? Or will you be left behind and go in the other direction when that time comes to an end? Because it all is going to come to an end one day. Amen. So God wants us all to be prepared. He wants us all to know who he is. He doesn't want us to be fooled by the things that are going on now. He said, and he doesn't want us to be afraid. Because if you're a child of God, I know it's easier said than done. Well, don't be afraid. God said that, you know, don't worry because all the things that are going on, they have to come to pass. As I read to you, Jesus said, don't be afraid. It's not the end yet. It's not the end yet, but these things must happen. Don't be troubled, for all these things must come to pass. See, before God even made the world, all of this was already set in motion. God, these things are not a surprise to God. These things were already known to him because he's omniscient. He knows everything. So he's not surprised at the evilness that is going on today. He's not surprised at any of this stuff that is going on today. Amen. Amen. So we're going to just trust him. Even though some of the things that are going on today are frightful, even though some of the things that are going on today are really cause us to pause because, you know, especially with the coronavirus when it first came in, and even now, man doesn't know too much about it. You know, nobody knows too much about it, but what we do know is that God has allowed man to make some progress in treating it and things like that. And we still have a lot to thank God for. If you woke up this morning, you still got a lot to thank God for. But one thing that you have to do in order to be prepared is to have a relationship with Jesus, to have that relationship. So if you don't know him, I invite you now to say this sinner's prayer. Now, saying this prayer is not what saves you. What saves you is after saying it with meaning and with your heart and really, really meaning it, start living for God. It's not just the words itself that saves you. It's a change. You let the Holy Spirit bring about a regeneration in you, in your heart. And you no longer want to do the things that you used to do. You no longer go to the places you used to go. So say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I confess Jesus as Lord. I believe in my heart that he died on the cross and that you rose him again by your Holy Spirit. And that when he died on the cross, he took my sins upon him. And because he lives, I live. I admit that I'm a sinner and I turn my back on sin. And I thank you for cleansing me of my sins, for forgiving me of all my sins. Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Give me your Holy Spirit so that I can walk this walk with you going forward. help me to get to stay prepared, to get prepared and stay prepared for your coming when you called us to meet you in the sky. In Jesus' name, if you said that prayer, welcome to the kingdom. I invite you to find you some church-going people, not just some church-going people, but some Jesus and God-loving people, and let them help you through this walk. Get you a Bible, pray before you read every time. I'm Dr. Janice Walker, and I hope your hope has been revived today. Bye-bye. See you next time.